Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls, and this is a Sunday roundup. After an away day at Chequers this Friday, the Cabinet has finally agreed on a compromise position for negotiating the UK's future Brexit deal with the EU. It was up to the Environment Secretary, Michael Gove, a prominent member of the Official Leave campaign, to explain to Andrew Marr why his fellow Conservatives should now back the government's new strategy.
Is your message to those colleagues wondering about what to do next? This isn't perfect, isn't absolutely what I would have wanted, but it is by far the best we can possibly get now.
Yes, critically, we have got to ensure that this country leaves the European Union in March 2019. Now, there are two people I've noticed who've been very unhappy with this deal. Nick Clegg on the one hand, Nigel Farage on the other. Nick Clegg's unhappy with this deal because he doesn't want us to leave. Nigel Farage is unhappy with this approach because he wants this government to fail so that he can cry betrayal for his own reasons. All those of us who believe that we want to execute a proper Brexit and one that is the best deal for Britain have an opportunity now to get behind the Prime Minister in order to negotiate that deal. There's one other thing as well that was agreed at Chequers, one really important thing, which is we're being generous towards the EU. We're showing flexibility. If the EU is ungenerous and inflexible, then we may have to contemplate walking away without a deal. And one of the things that we agreed at Chequers is that we would step up the preparations for precisely that outcome. And civil servants and ministers across government have been working hard in order to ensure that
even though
that is not...
I know lots of people are working hard. Can I ask a very straightforward question?
A critical question is that we will be in a position in March 2019 if we don't get the deal that we want to be able to walk away.
Are we actually in a position to walk away now?
We need to be by March 2019.
So we're
the
not.
The Cabinet have agreed that we're going to take the preparations. No one wants to walk away now because we're in the middle of a negotiation. What we need to do is to be able to walk away in March 2019. Not because we want that outcome. I don't want that outcome. I want a deal, and I think what the Prime Minister is putting forward succeeds in making sure that we end ECJ jurisdiction, we end freedom of movement, and we have the regulatory autonomy we need in the areas that are important to make this economy a success in the future.
Support from Labour would have allowed Theresa May to breathe easily, but none was forthcoming. Shadow Brexit Secretary Keir Starmer told Marr why he did not feel able to support the government's approach.
Theresa May, I mean, I don't speak for Theresa May in any sense, but she has had a very difficult job, clearly, with her cabinet. She's been jostling different cabinet members, and she has come up with this new proposal. Now, if the opposition said, you know what, it's quite close to what we think, we will back you in these talks, she'd be in a much, much stronger position with Brussels.
But, Andrew, she hasn't met our demands. We've been clear you need a comprehensive customs union, and you need... a single market deal with shared institutions, shared regulation. She's come up with a fudge on customs. It is a fudge. It's going to unravel. She's going to have to
everything
move again.
Everything is a fudge.
And on the free trade area that she's got for goods and agricultural products, fine, that's a step in the right direction. But then it comes with the pretense that you can have free trade agreements with other countries in the world on goods and agricultural products where there's going to be some variance. So there's an unreality about the position she's landed in.
Nothing in this sublunary world is perfect, and clearly she's had to make lots of changes.
Yes.
The problem that you have, can I suggest, is the same as the problem that a lot of Brexit critics in the Tory party also have, which is if you bring this down in the House of Commons and your suggestion about a vote would be a way of doing that, then you drive this country closer to the very thing that you have said would be completely intolerable and impossible, which is no deal.
Well, no deal is intolerable. What we can't say is that this fudge is therefore good enough. It's not going to last. We've set out a clear position on the customs union. Let's just vote on it, because if the majority thinks we should have a comprehensive customs union with the EU in Parliament, which I believe it does, then at least that's the basis for the negotiation.
Instead, the government will have to rely on support from all wings of the Conservative backbenchers, including the most hardcore Brexiteers. Neil Paterson asked the veteran Eurosceptic Bill Cash if Theresa May could count on his support.
Is Theresa May's position today any more or less secure as a result of what's emerged from Chequers? For all the triumphalism about the fact that actually, you know, a prime minister got her cabinet to agree to something emerging from Chequers, it strikes me that given the fact on the Sunday papers, once again, we're hearing talk of people writing letters to the chairman of the 1922, it doesn't look like she's any safer.
Well, it certainly raises a lot of question marks on that account as well. And by the way, if people were to decide to put in those letters, you only need 48. And as a matter of fact, nobody can stop them. And once the decision has been taken by those people, the chairman of the 1922 committee has to implement the process. But the key question is that there are a lot of questions in here. There is a lot of unhappiness. There is a great deal of concern that we're saying that we leave. You could put it this way, right? It's not just to be or not to be, it's to leave or not to leave. The question is, how do you leave, and is this going to be a proper Brexit? And there will be a massive discussion about all this. It's a white paper, and that provides us with a means to do it, and we're going to do a thorough analysis of it, and we'll come up with our own analysis, and we'll put it to the Cabinet and to the British people.
Have you written a letter?
I have not, no. I'm certainly not saying anything of the kind.
Meanwhile, on the more Europhile side of things, there have been renewed calls for a so-called people's vote on the final Brexit deal. Shadow International Trade Secretary Barry Gardiner told Sarah Smith why Labour would not countenance this idea.
You heard Lord Mandelson there saying that he wishes the Labour Party would sign up to the idea of a people's vote, a second referendum on the terms of the deal. And you know that more and more people within the party and the union movement are coming around to this point of view. Might Labour ever adopt that as a policy?
Look, as Jeremy said, it is absolutely not our policy.
But could it be?
Let me try and explain why, OK? Because I think there's a point of principle here, and there's also a point of pragmatism, and if I can elaborate the two. The point of principle, I think, is brought out, actually, by what you said to Peter. You talked about the best interests of the UK. And he then said the best economic interests of the UK. They're not the same thing. Of course, and we've always maintained that we want a Brexit that is for jobs and the economy, putting them first, but a Brexit that puts them first. And the point is that actually democracy matters. The fact that we all went to people, and when we knocked on the doors, we didn't say, oh, do you know there's a referendum next Thursday? It'd be nice if you came out and told us what you thought. What we did was, whether leave or remain, we went out on that doorstep and we said, please, come out and vote on Thursday. What you say on Thursday is going to determine the future of our country for the next 40 years. Now, I don't believe, on a point of principle, that we should undermine that democratic accountability. I think if we do, politics and politicians in this country will bear an enormous price. We will have turned around, patted people on the head and said, there, you got it wrong, but don't worry, we'll fix it. So that's the principle. The pragmatism is this. We have business that has been calling out for 2 years for clarity, for certainty. Yes. Please give us the certainty so we can get on with our business. And if we then say, well, we're going to take the decision all over again, that is thrown into the future.
And finally, Justine Greening has been among those calling for her fellow Tories to fall in line behind the Chequers deal. Invoking the success of the England football team, she told John Pina why she felt this was so important.
We need to stick together as a party, get behind the Prime Minister and try and make sure that we support her as she goes through what are going to be monumentally difficult negotiations with the EU. England would not have won last night if we'd been on the pitch arguing with one another. Okay. And it's about a team working on one plan, and the time for arguments within that Chequers team, within that Cabinet team, has now got to stop.
That's all for this week. I'm Katie Balls, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and you can get a great deal on the magazine with 12 issues for just £12, along with free limited edition Spectator Moleskine notebook. Just visit spectator.co.uk/podoffer. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do also subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.